Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, which today is Pete and Terry's Tavern at Bridgestone Arena. Predators in action tonight. Puck drop against the Philadelphia Flyers at 7 p.m. All of your pregame coverage starts at 6 p.m. right here on 102.5 and 106.3, The Game. Joining us now is Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, who normally joins us at noon on Tuesdays with Mike Vrabel. Had to shift things around a little bit. So appreciate your flexibility today, Tim. And just like we all expected, Titans went into Miami with the number one offense in the NFL and won it. No, I'm just kidding. Did not expect that in the slightest, especially when the Titans kind of gift-wrapped 21 points to the Dolphins last night off of turnovers. But looking at all of that, the turnovers, the fact that Derrick Henry only got 34 rushing yards last night, I would have thought that that would have been a blowout. But the Titans win it 28-27. Tim, watching that game last night, what do you think was the difference for the Titans?
I mean, really, it was just the finish. I mean, I think that hanging in there in the finish was ultimately the difference, because you're right, when you look at the stats and you look at like how the game went, like I think ultimately like they really hadn't done things in that game last night to help them win that they had done, you know, in other games throughout the season where they had lost. Now, saying all of that, I do think that, you know, the way the defense played, I thought was outstanding. You mentioned kind of the lack of, you know, rush yards for Derrick Henry, or you just think about like how it went for Miami. Look, they don't have anybody rush for over 100 yards, so, which is something, and I know they play multiple backs, but like something that normally happens. You know, Tua didn't throw a bunch of touchdowns. You know, they obviously gave up a few big plays. You know, didn't have Tyreek Hill for, you know, part of that game, obviously, but like, you know, I just thought that defensively they did a good job, and then they just kind of, you know, hung in there. And I have to say, at, I guess after the, you know, the pitch behind Derrick Henry, which, you know, Miami scores quickly after that, I thought the game was over. Like, I thought it was like, hey, like the doors are going to get blown off them at this point. And, you know, I think that was probably the feeling for a lot of people. So I think just being able to hang in there, not panic, and just keep fighting, that's a good sign. And really, it, I guess it would have been like 3 minutes and 50 seconds left in the game. Like, they're still down 14 points. Mm-hmm. Like, that's nearly impossible to come back in that environment, and they did.
Before last night, teams down 14 points with 3 minutes left. 0-767. So, nearly impossible. Yeah, absolutely,
yeah, I mean, like,
crazy.
That's what I mean. And to that point, a little bit, not to get, like, you know, all analytics and that, and I didn't have the volume on for a lot of it, but, like, the going for two after the first touchdown.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
that's
a trendy
the
thing to do now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the thing to do now. And I will say this, I've never seen anybody win because of it until last night.
And, of course, obviously, it worked, and it was the reason why that game didn't go to overtime. So we can look back and say, well, that was a great decision. But in the moment, what did you make of Mike Vrabel's decision to go for two there?
Well, just because I've heard people talking about it, and I guess it's been years now, where I understand the reasoning, right? Like, in that environment, the stat you just gave, Caroline, is exactly why you say, look, here's the deal. If we don't get it, we're going to go for two again. Because the likelihood that we're even going to score again is so small that, you know, the likelihood of us winning if we go for two and get it changes drastically. I mean, that's essentially the thought process behind the math. So I completely understood it in the moment, and I just have never seen it actually work all the way with the second touchdown and then kicking the extra point for the win. So, look, I guess for now, anyone that's doubted it, you know, like that example right there is the exact proof of, you know, because here's what you want to do is you don't, you know, score a touchdown, you know, now you're down 27-26. Like, you're not going for two in that environment on the road in Miami. Like, I just don't think you are. You're going overtime. And so, look, I think the way Mike Vrabel played that was absolutely perfect.
We'll talk with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst, discussing the Titans' comeback win against Miami, 28-27. Caroline and I were talking earlier, Tim, about Will Levis's the emotions that he showed. And, you know, Caroline was a little bit worried about that because, you know, you can get too high when you're an emotional player, but then at times you can get too low. So it can be a benefit, but then it could be detrimental to you and to the team. But I look at Will Levis and I say, you got to allow him to play with the passion that he plays with, yeah, because he's the what I've seen now with this Tennessee Titan team. He's the spark plug. He's the energy guy. Yeah. He's the guy that's going to get people going. So you got to allow him to play that way, but also allow him to figure out sort of like to hone that in and to make sure, you know, he doesn't get too low. But you can't try to stifle the energy that he plays with, because that's who he is as a player.
Yeah, I think everybody as a player, like, you need to be who you are. Now, it doesn't mean, like, you run wild in either direction, right? But I think that, look, if you're a fiery, passionate guy and that's just, like, naturally in you and it's authentic, then I think you have to be that. And there probably are times where, you know, you maybe are getting a little too high and you have to be aware of that, or too low and you need to be aware of that and how your body language is maybe, affecting the team in a certain way. But I think that if you're somebody that just naturally reacts to and plays with passion, then you have to allow it to happen. Look, a little bit like I think how you have to coach. Like, when I see Mike Vrabel in his interactions, I'm like, he's being himself. Like, that's that's how he is. You know what I mean? Go talk to the punt returner. What happened? Yeah, well, this is what I think about that, you know? Like, I just think that you need to be authentic and be yourself, because when that happens, the team trusts you because you're being true. And so do I think that there are probably some times where you can say, yeah, but let's put some margins up on this a little bit, where, you know, you're not so wound up and fired up. Like, you aren't covering kicks. Like, you still are our quarterback, right? And so let's also keep that in mind. But I don't think that you try to take that away from him. I think you just try to say, like, hey, let's just make sure that we don't go outside of some of these boundaries.
Yeah, because to me, they have two great players on our offense, and that's Derrick Henry and D-Hop. And they're not where they used to be, but they are the consummate pros, the guys that go out and just do their job. They don't cause no fuss. They do their job, and guys follow behind that. But then guys still need that energy guy. Tyreek was the energy guy for Miami. When he left the game, all of it was gone. When he comes back in the game, the energy seems to pick up. I think Will Levis is that for the Titans, and he can be that moving forward. I want
to
touch on
D-Mace, yeah, to that point, and I think you would have a lot of experience as a player. I really think that it's important, because you can't have everybody wound up, right? Mm-hmm. You need to have some guys that you said are the spark, and the other guys that, you know, look, they're more of a calming presence. And I think that as soon as you can identify your quarterback and who your quarterback is and how he is, then I think that allows you to say, all right, well, like, these are good personalities to have around them. I think that is a very underrated aspect of the job of a general manager and a coach, to say, like, and I've used this example at times, like when I was at the Giants and they had all these huge personalities, you know, every from like Michael Strahan and OCU Mignora and Antonio Pearson and Tiki Barber and Jeremy Shockey and Plexico Burris. Like, you needed Eli Manning to be like the guy that was unfazed at all times, because there were so many other big personalities. And see, I think that's just something that I believe is underrated and needs to be kind of handled when you are building a team.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to know. You have to have certain personalities that balance out other personalities. And then that, a lot of times, that usually leads to you having not only just a good locker room, but a good team out on the field. Mm-hmm. Now, Tim Kelly, I want to touch on this. I think he did a wonderful job. Now, Vrabel's going to get all the praise. We understand that, because he's the head coach. But I think what Tim Kelly was able to do, he wasn't chasing points. He wasn't trying to play this game that Miami was playing. He kept the game the way he wanted it to be. And when he had an opportunity to win it, he called the plays to win games. And I don't think he'd get enough credit in this win. He deserves a lot of this credit.
Yeah, I thought, and especially when you think about this, you think about the some of the bad plays in the game, right? The interception that on a screen is just kind of an unfortunate play. And not only is it a turnover, but leads, you know, to score. And then you think about the turnover that leads to, you know, on the pitch, like it's just bad execution by, you know, quarterback and running back in terms of ball handling. So I think that part of what happens too, what I think is impressive, is you have some of these like, you know, just kind of gut punch, brutal plays, and they can make you feel like, hey, you got to chase some stuff. I thought there was a lot of patience. There were certainly some shots called when they needed shots. They got big plays out of it. Listen, in terms of how, you know, D-Hop was featured, I mean, honestly, even Okonkwo, like they're running wide receiver screens with him outside. Like, I thought there was a lot of good stuff. And I think that, you know, you probably have to feel like you have a lot of good stuff when you go play a team like Miami, knowing how explosive they are offensively. But I thought they did a great job with it, considering some of the kind of disastrous plays that had happened throughout the game.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, you know, one of the things I noticed when you watch Levis is, I mean, it's not just a strong arm. It's a uniquely strong arm, I think, the way he can get the ball down the field with a pretty quick release, sometimes even throwing without a full wind-up or whatever you want to call it. He's thrown off the back foot sometimes, but he can really put it down the field with a lot of zip on it. What does that do to open up other things on the offense? Because I don't know if I've seen a Titans quarterback who can do quite what he does.
Yeah, I'll relay that to my brother as soon as we're off here.
Okay, I apologize for that. Matt was a little older, you know, when he was playing here.
You know, don't backtrack. Probably, don't backtrack,
Willie. Probably wasn't a 23, 24-year-old. I'm sure when he was that age.
It's not him, it's us.
Yeah.
I'm best around. And truthfully, and look, you're right. He has a rare talent to throw. I would say this, like, you know, in terms of guys, like, Terry Collins had a huge arm. Like, had a huge, huge arm. And so, you know, I think there were times that, you know, there'd be throws like he would make where you're like, yeah, not everyone can really do that. But what it allows you to do is this: you have to defend more of the field. It's just like it is really that simple in terms of, you know, defensive backs sometimes will be, you know, backing up and then they kind of see static in the pocket and it'll settle their feet because they feel like, well, the ball can't get all the way out of here. Or the ball from that hash can't get all the way out to this sideline. I think he has the ability, just as a gifted thrower, to attack areas of the field that, you know, you typically, you know, some guys can't attack. The other thing that he can do, and I think Matthew Stafford would be you know, the goal or the aiming point in terms of like, hey, if you could do the stuff that Matthew Stafford is able to do, that's special and it would change things. You know, a lot of times when you see in-breaking routes and deep underneath coverage, you know, the window is small. And many players, it would certainly be how I played, like that happened, like, boom, I'm throwing it underneath. I'm checking it down. But guys that have the ability to throw the way Levis has the ability to throw, you can kind of just try to freeze that underneath coverage a little bit and then just fire something into a much, much tighter window. And so, look, you can throw into tighter windows. You can attack different areas of the field. And I think that you have to defend things differently because of guys that have the ability to throw that way.
All right. Now, Tim, you're a contemporary of mine. I will bet you can remember this game when you were a kid. There was a game in New England where it was 0-0, Patriots against the Dolphins, and the Patriots brought the guy with the snowplow out because it was a blizzard, and they cleaned off an area. I mean, there was no rule against it. The other team, Don Shula's going crazy, but the guy wipes it off and clears the area, and the kicker kicks it. and the Patriots win 3-0. And it was a great moment.
So I remember that play.
I remember the play because the guy was on, like, work release from prison. He goes out
Yeah, he was.
And old Don Hasselbeck is on the field goal protection team.
Yes.
So he was out on the field for that play.
Okay. So that was, you know, you could see why the game was 0-0, right? It's a blizzard.
Yeah.
In Foxborough. We're doing the Predators versus Canadians, so I didn't see much of the late window of games. So we get done with our game, we get on the bus, and I'm looking at the scores, and I see 3-0 Raiders Vikings, and I'm like, was this in the old Metropolitan Stadium? Was there a blizzard I didn't know about? Could you believe in this day and age we had a 3-0 game in a climate-controlled environment like that?
I think it's like the first one ever, maybe. I forget the stat, that it was some crazy number. Well, here's what happened. Josh Dobbs, obviously, was starting for Minnesota. He played really poorly. Jefferson gets hurt in the game because he kind of lays him out after, you know, missing some time. And then Aiden O'Connell, you know, wasn't his best. Brian Flores, the defensive coordinator for the Vikings, he's heating him up, and they're getting nothing going because of that. And so, I think you would rather snow than you would have, you know, some of these young or inexperienced quarterbacks out there trying to make it happen.
Good grief. Now, what's your take on the end of the Chiefs-Bills game? Because I see all the time, whether it's offense or defense, they put that blue line now in the last few years where you see the line of scrimmage, and there's constantly a hand on there, all the way over it sometimes, a foot, and it just, you know, they never call it. I'm like, well, how do we know when to call it, when not? But so the timing of it was certainly controversial. So what was your take? Because the guy's foot was definitely on the blue line.
Yeah. So here's what I would say. Just a little insight in terms of, you know, the first down line or the line of scrimmage line. Okay. And they always say, hey, that's not official, and it's not, because the reality is there is somebody in the TV truck, and people that are very good at their job, but they're artificially putting it there of where they see the football. And you've probably seen some games sometimes where it's like 3 yards off, you know, just because maybe there was a mistake made or something like that. So that line really is not even close to being official. It's basically, you know, it's done by somebody in the TV truck and has nothing to do with the officiant, right? Same thing with the first down line. Now, they've gotten good at it, and so oftentimes it's right there. So that's just something to keep in mind when you see the line. Then I would say this. Look, he's lined up offsides. Kadarius Toney is lined up offsides. And when the official throws the flag, like, the ball hasn't touched Patrick Mahomes' hand yet. Like, he doesn't know what the end result is going to be. Like, he just sees somebody lined up offside. He's got to throw a flag. So I think that officials, by and large, like, they're going to give you some gray area. Like, they are. But if it's egregious, like, you have to throw a flag. And it was in that environment. Now, I would say this. I've heard so many people, Mahomes went all over this about, you know, let us play the game. I think that's total garbage. I think you need to call the game consistently. Like, how do players know? Like, hey, so all of a sudden, like, the neutral zone changes because it's a close game with 3 minutes left? What? Like, illegal hands to the face is going to be called differently when there's 3 minutes left in a close game, or pass interference is different in a close. Like, I just completely disagree with that. I think there needs to be consistency with how a game is being called all of the time so that people know the rules and the parameters with which you can play.
Now, Tim, there was a play in this Titans game, and I've seen it called before, more so in college than anything, where the, you know, defensive linemen both, they moved in position. They sort of moved down the line. And the Titans player jumped off, you know, false start. But they end up calling the Dolphins
big call,
for illegal shift or something like that. My thing is,
delay of game was the call.
Yeah, it was a delay of game.
Defensive delay of game,
And I don't understand it because
my sense on that is that they simulated the snap. Because you're stemming, you're not going to get it. But if you, you know, say hut 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 like as you stem, then that's a penalty. That's a delay game.
But I don't think they gave an explanation. They just said it was delay a game. Because my thing is, well, okay, the offense can do these sudden moves. Like Tyreek was in one position, all of a sudden he just runs, and then they hike the ball. And if the defense jumps off sides, it's
which happened.
It's like, nope, off sides. But the offense, to me, if I don't simulate the snap count, like saying something or clapping, that's how they get the college players, by clapping, then I should be able to make that move. As a defensive player, I shouldn't be called for delay a game. And if the Titans had done it, I would have said the same thing. I just don't think it was a good call.
Yeah, so here's what I think. I think that call was because the official heard something from one of the guys, which is why it's going to be a delay a game and not going to be, neutral zone infraction or encroachment or, anything like that. So, look, I agree with you. I think one of the things that has happened, especially in the college game with the claps and even, as teams are playing on the road and see now the quarterback is lifting his leg and then you got a guard that's then signaling to the center. The snap count is a massive weapon for the offense. And so is motion. And it's that way for a reason, right? Like motion, especially with the way Miami uses motion, especially when you get Tyreek on the move and you get, off coverage. I mean, D-Mace, you've seen that. Some guys that stink getting off the press, like, dude, put them in motion. Like, that gets you a free run. So, I think that, like, that's why the rules are the way they are. Look, a few years ago, it used to be, like, a defensive lineman, if he jumped in the neutral zone and the offense moved, like, it wasn't always, and it was one guy moved, it used to be that was an offensive foul. Like, they changed that, years ago, and now it's a defensive penalty. So, look, I think they're, as much as they can create things that are better for the offense, they're going to continue to do it as long as it fits within player safety.
I feel like that has been called more in college and in the NFL this season than I've ever noticed it in the past.
Simulating the snap?
Defensive delay of game.
Yeah. Well, because I think that, I think defenses are trying to do certain things. But the other thing is this. I think defensive linemen naturally, they're different than offensive linemen. Like, offensive linemen are, like I've said this before, they're sensitive guys that, wore their T-shirts when they went to the town swimming pool. And the defensive linemen are like, guys are always trying to stay out of trouble. You know what I mean? So they're like, push the obvious.
I got to remember that one.
Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Tim, appreciate you as always and appreciate your flexibility today. Thanks for joining us.
Right. See you guys.
I have to admit, when I was in the seventh grade and it was shirts and skins for basketball, some of the guys were looking at me going, You need to eat, man.
You need to be a shirt.
And I don't know which.
Can I be on the shirts?
I don't know which is better. Like, you need to stop eating, man, or you need to eat, man. It's both equally as embarrassing. All right, we'll react to what Tim Hasselbeck had to say there. Plus, yet another week where this player is really, for the most part, a non-factor. I was worried last week. I was worried the week before. I'm worried this week. We'll get into that coming up next and back into your phones. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.